McLean Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Oh, look at this. Ain't this just a perfect Gulf Coast Sunday morning in the middle of Gulf summer? I wouldn't even try to talk you into going to the yard, but I should. 95 degrees today. It's the kind of thing you get used to if you live along the Gulf Coast. It's a funny thing. I've been doing work in North Alabama, and it got a little warm the other day. And somebody said to me, boy, it's hot. And I thought, it's 86 degrees. It's 86 degrees, and the dew point is around, 67. Dew point in Mobile was probably, 90, and at 90 degrees, 92 degrees, and the dew point was in the mid-70s. That's a big difference. Takes some getting used to, but you know, here's the thing, is you get used to it. You do get used to it. I could go on about that. We're afraid of it, but we shouldn't be. It's where we are. It's where we live. We get used to it. Our bodies get used to it, actually. Listen, so here's the thing. I've been in the midst of all of this. Of all things, I keep thinking about John Wayne. Now, I know it doesn't make any sense that I'm thinking about John Wayne, but let me tell you how I got there. So I'm thinking about camellias. I'm having this discussion about camellias, which we do very well. And there's a particular camellia that bears oil called Camellia oleifera. And it's probably one of the best oils you could ever cook with. It's an amazing oil. It's much better than olive oil in so many ways. And so I'm thinking, why in the world have we promoted olive oils for growing in Georgia and Alabama, and we go to all this trouble for olive oils, which are strictly Mediterranean from a dry, dry climate, and which have all kind of disease issues. I mean, the disease issues, there's three pages of disease issues that you're going to have to deal with. They're going to be worse than peaches, which we imported from Arabia. They're going to be worse than peaches for this climate in terms of, much worse than peaches in terms of the kinds of diseases that they have. And so why wouldn't we do something we did really well? Because we don't understand where we are. And that always makes me think about the olives and the fact that we don't know where we are and that we don't know our own history. It always makes me think about John Wayne. Because there's this great bad movie with John Wayne in it. Now, some of you believe that John Wayne can't make a bad movie, but you should watch The Fighting Kentuckians and then argue with me about it. The Fighting Kentuckians, my friends, is a story about Alabama. It stars John Wayne. And I thought, you know, I need to watch this movie. I ought to watch this movie. Because it's about Alabama, and it's about places I love in Alabama. And I did. And it is, I will have to say, one of the most magnificently intolerable movies I've ever watched. It's unbelievably bad. But it was very popular, and it remains very popular, and it remains very popular in the minds of Alabamians because it was about Demopolis. And it was about the vine and olive colony in Demopolis. You see where I get to John Wayne and all this? And so the story in the movie is that in 1818, they don't tell you this, but 1818 is an important time in the Black Belt of Alabama around Demopolis because by 1818, Andrew Jackson has figured out the best excuse he can come up with, which is the War of 1812, to get rid of all of the Native Americans in Alabama. And he succeeded in doing it. Even his allies, the Choctaws, he basically makes fools of them. Well, I don't know that that's a nice thing to say, but he does. He tells them, oh, I'm going to get, and then he takes it all away, wipes out the creeks, runs them into Florida, runs them wherever else he can. The Coosade, the Alabama, the Mobileans, the last of them, he runs out of the state, has a treaty, makes it all sort of legal. That treaty's coming back to haunt the United States this past week, didn't it, in the Supreme Court? But listen, he did all this, and then he freed up the black belt, and so supposedly, according to this movie, there were the noblemen from and women from Florida, from France, who were refugees from the Napoleonic Wars. They were all, and they were part of the old monarchy, and they had to leave France and come to the middle of Alabama to create the Vine and Olive Colony, and they were all dressed in their uniforms, according to our mythmaker historian, Mr. Pickett. They were all dressed in uniforms and empire dresses, and there's still paintings and other things that sort of preserve this moment, that all these noble people are in the middle of Demopolis, Alabama, and they're in their fine clothes, hoeing the ground, planting vines and olives. And this is what The Fighting Kentuckian was about, believe it or not, and it was kind of a weird slapstick movie. And in the middle of that movie, the thing that irritated me the most out of all of the crazy myth-making was the fact that Demopolis looked like Southern California. I've never seen anything like it. Do you know Demopolis in Alabama? It's this beautiful place. It's this incredible place. A place like no other place I have ever seen. The city is built on these beautiful white chalk bluffs. And if you have not seen those white chalk bluffs, they're absolutely amazing. Even after we dam the river, they're still amazing. They're still amazing. The prairie surrounded Demopolis. There were great prairies. There were cane brakes, these beautiful stands of bamboo that stretched for miles and miles and miles and miles. There was the Fall Line Hills, just a little bit of a Fall Line Hill, but mostly all prairies. And here in this image is this, none of this is portrayed about Demopolis. And in fact, here's the crazy thing. John Wayne meets his love interest because she's gone for a day of shopping from Demopolis to Mobile. Think about that, folks. Think about that. So we have this incredible Hollywood version. It's like Gone with the Wind. It's the Gone with the Wind of the Alabama landscape. We tell our stories about ourselves. We make up our history. We create these weird icons, and it comes back to eat us alive every time. I'd love to talk about why the Vine and Olive Colony missed it entirely. I'd love to talk about the fact that the members of that colony were not, in fact, noble people. They were, in fact, middle-class people who were freeing the Haitian slave rebellion because the Haitians were tired of being abused as slaves, and so they came to Demopolis eventually by way of Philadelphia. They were not French noble people, and their Vine and Olive Colony was a total failure because they were going to see Alabama as if it were France. They wanted Alabama to be France. They wanted, and the grapes were going to fail, and the olives were going to fail, and even the cotton failed. And the colony failed for so many reasons, and we keep failing because we don't see Alabama. We still have the John Wayne version of Alabama in our heads. And I keep thinking about that over and over. You know, that's what I talk about a lot here. If only we could see where we are. If only we had really had a movie about Demopolis and what an incredible place it is and what that incredible chalk bluff is like and what it led to and the fact that it was one of the great centers for horse breeding at one time and the fact that it is one of the great centers of hickories in the world and the fact that hickories themselves were a great commodity and that there were so many things you could do with that place if you just understood where you are, where we are. It's an interesting thing. If you've got some time today, because it's too hot outside and because you're not used to being where you are, while you're sitting inside, just daydream a little bit about what Mobile could be like if it ever understood where it was, if we didn't have the John Wayne version, the Gone with the Wind version of Mobile. What would it be like? What could we make of this place if we ever understood where we are? It's all we talk about here. But I want to know about where you are. Tell me about your garden. Tell me about what's going on. Give us a call, 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It is a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. And it is a Gulf Coast Sunday morning. This is the kind of day, as I said last week, this is the time of year when Mobile is Mobile like no other place in the world. No other place, maybe New Orleans comes close, but no other place quite can imitate what Mobile is like during this weather. Pensacola kind of comes close, but Mobile is... Mobile's different. It's interesting. So we've been thinking about this movie, The Fighting Kentuckians, and we've been thinking about John Wayne, and we've been thinking about the Vine and Olive Colony. If you missed that, it's one of the all-time most fabulously disgusting movies I've ever watched. If John Wayne's your hero, you'll be a little disappointed, in part because John Wayne is, as David Hubble reminds me, oh, David, you reminded me of one of the horrible facts about the film that I keep trying to get out of my head, is that Oliver Hardy was in that movie along with John Wayne as one of the principals, and it was, so it had to be a little bit slapstick, and it was, in a weird sort of way, so if you're looking for... I don't know. It's a crazy movie. But the crazy part is that it became part of our story of the South and our story of Alabama. And we made a movie that was really about what somebody cooked up in some weird little studio kitchen in Hollywood. We've made it part of the story we tell about Alabama. And it is on signs. It's an amazing thing. It's on signs everywhere. You still see the story of the Vine and Olive Colony. It's completely made up, but we tell the story. And if you were to take those signs down, and if you were to take any memorials down to try to correct them, people would say, you're trying to erase our history. Well, we're trying to erase Hollywood's history of Alabama, but never mind. Never mind. Here's the thing. When we so fail to appreciate where we are, and we try to keep importing these ideas from other places, we make a big mistake. So, in this vine and olive myth, the idea was, and there actually was a vine and olive society devoted to growing French grapes and Mediterranean olives, Spanish olives, Italian olives, in Alabama. Now there were a few problems with that, and they're the problems that have dogged Alabama all along, because places are different. Mobile today is not Paris, France. I guarantee you that Paris, France is not anything like Mobile on a day like today. And it's good to remember that. And it's good to remember that Demopolis is not like Mobile either. It's a very distinctive place, a very cool place, a very beautiful place. I wish we had captured that. So one of the things today is imagine what the place where we live in Alabama and the places where we live in Mississippi, there's only this weird little sort of imaginary line separating the two, and the places where we live in Northwest Florida, again, only these weird little lines separating the two that don't mean anything, ultimately. Imagine that we really understood where we were, and we built our cities, we built our farms, we built our economy based on the intrinsic things about where we are, rather than trying to be like other places. And it would be very interesting. You know, one of the things I'll just put a plug in here for this idea. So if we were looking for oils are very important nowadays, aren't they? They're very important for cooking. David, don't you think oils are very important for cooking? It is. And there's an interesting history of cooking with oils that's you may not be aware of, because we didn't have a lot of the oils we have now, and they were pretty expensive. And I guarantee you 50 years ago, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, in the South, people weren't cooking with olive oil because it was very expensive. It was very difficult. And besides which, it just, who had ever heard of it? People weren't cooking with olive oils. What did they cook with? What were they cooking with? Well, they were cooking with lards, and we got people to quit cooking with lards. They were cooking with butter, and we said, oh, you can't cook with butter anymore. And so we got these weird sort of highly manufactured oils, like Crisco, that actually do terrible things to your body, we now know. Because we were trying to come up with oils. So we were always trying to come up with oils. And now the olive oils in the Mediterranean, the olives, trees, are having a huge problem. They're dying off in huge numbers. And we're trying to grow olives here where they're even more susceptible to disease. But what if we thought about some of our native oils? What if we thought about what kind of oil crops could we grow here that made sense? What would we grow? Well, in my mind, we'd have started where we left off about the time the vine and olive came here. We would have started with hickory trees, which is where a lot of people were getting their oils in the old days in Alabama. Interesting thing, we've completely forgotten about it. A really important part of Alabama culture, really important part of Alabama horticulture. Or we could have thought, you know, what parts of the world are most like Alabama in terms of climate? Obviously, it's not France. But what if we had brought in the camellias that we decided, oh, they can only be ornamental? But what if we decided, you know, in China and in Japan, they're actually using these things. They're actually using them to produce these oils, these beautiful oils that they've been cooking with. We've known this for decades now, how good these camellia oils are for cooking, much better than olive oil in so many ways. And yet, we're trying to grow olives. Does that make any sense? Because we don't know where we are. There you go. There you go. Just something to think about. Imagine the world as if we knew where we are. I've got a couple of texts coming in. So Billy from Hurley and. Let me talk about making lawns right now. My first thought is don't do it. Okay, just don't do it. You're gonna get a good bit of rain now, but diseases are rampant and your grass is very vulnerable. And particularly when it's young and new, you got to water it all the time. It creates big problems. If you try to resod right now, you're going to make a big mistake. Think about the fact that you're going to have to lay out a bunch of sod, that it's going to be very vulnerable to diseases. This is the worst time of year for development of diseases. Worst time of year for insects. Worst time of year because of the excess heat. We're getting a lot of rain. That's nice. But the excess heat means that sod's going to dry out pretty quickly. It's going to be under transplant stress. You may even not even get the sod on the ground before the sod begins to succumb to transplant stress. Don't do it now. That's the first step. Find a good time of year to do it. And that's probably October, November. So that's the first step. Second step is, Billy, crack the ground. You'll probably need to crack the ground. And if you have any problems, let me tell you what that means. It doesn't mean till it. It just means crack it. Because you've got a hard pan. You inevitably have a hard pan. I guarantee it. You just need to crack it with a fork. Wiggle it in. Crack that soil. Lean back on the fork. Don't turn it upside down. You want the topsoil on the top. Huh? Will the St. Augustine compete with the Bahia if you leave the Bahia on? I wouldn't leave the Bahia on. And that's another story. So let's talk about it and let's figure out how to do it. But above all, let's don't do it now. We can talk about it, but we need to come back a little bit later in the year and figure that thing out. That's the best way to do it. That's the best way to do it. Hey, give us a call this morning, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Love to know what's going on in your yard. Love to be able to help you if I can. Identifying plants, identifying problems, trying to come up with solutions for them. I can probably save you some trouble. Give us a call, 251-343-0106. And I'm just curious, have any of you actually ever tried camellia oil? It's such a good thing to cook with. We cooked peppers and beans with it last night. Ooh, it's so good when you do that. Give us a call, and we'll talk about that today. David reminds us that lard can be a tasty thing to cook with. It is. It's probably not as bad as the Crisco we used to cook with. But there may be even better oils and more traditional oils that we could be using to cook with. I'd like to think about that. Yeah, we're thinking about how to do that. How could we do that? Can you imagine if we had our own oil industry here? Not CBD oil, which we don't do very well. That's like bringing French grapes to Alabama. Hemp, which doesn't grow that well here. Oh boy, did I say that out loud? I'm so sorry. I take it back. I didn't mean to tell you the truth.
Just across the line in a little...
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Welcome back. It is a Gulf Coast sunny morning with Plain Gardening. You know, it's probably worth talking this morning, and we will if we have a chance as the show goes on, about the heat and how to prepare your house for the heat so that it's not so hot. I was just reading some advice offered on the internet about how to keep your house cool. And I thought, you know, try that Mobile and you are really messed up. You've really got, it ain't going to work. Let's talk about what really works in terms of keeping your house cool. If you're interested, give me a call. We'll talk about your house and why it's too hot and how to fix that. But we did start talking about this whole issue of what if we thought about where we are? What if we understood where Mobile is and how distinctive it is? And what if we began to think about importing plants or using our own plants that were well adapted to this climate? What if we quit trying to be France or England or New England or California or Minnesota? And please believe me, we do that every day. We are modeling our lives around Minnesota. It's an amazing thing. What if we quit trying to be those places and just tried to be the Gulf Coast? Just tried to make the most of what the Gulf Coast is. What would we be doing? And so I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking, too, about agriculture, and I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get in big trouble, but I'm going to say this because it's very interesting to me. Alabama has become a state that focused on many different kinds of crops. Even in the days when cotton was king, we were growing lots of other kinds of crops. Cotton is no longer king in Alabama, I can assure you. And we still grow very few crops here, and we've lost most of the diversity we had even when cotton was considered dominant in Alabama. So we're basically growing three crops across Alabama. And none of those crops are really important to our food supply, honestly. They're not grown for food, for the most part. They're grown for, not for direct consumption. They're grown for maybe beefing up cattle, which we don't do very well. Or they're grown for fuel, literally. And it's why you use that 10% ethanol in your gas, which makes your car run more poorly, and that you complain about all the time. That's where our crops are going in Alabama. Our cotton's pretty low grade cotton. Doesn't really go into many high grade products. But so there it is. These are the three crops we grow in Alabama: cotton, corn, and soybeans. And I keep thinking, why can't we diversify? And here's what I know. The reason we can't diversify is because we've built our agriculture, we've built our machinery, we've built the way we grow things around herbicide-ready seeds, which are produced in Minnesota and Nebraska and somewhere else. And so there is no... So farmers don't even have the equipment now. They're so stuck on these herbicide-ready seeds, and there aren't many. There are only very few varieties. So you can't introduce new varieties because farmers are stuck on the old machinery. And we're doing hand-me-downs because our corn production is so much lower than corn production in Nebraska and other places. Our soybean production is so much lower than soybean production in other states where soybeans are grown well. Our hemp production will be so much lower than hemp grown in other places. And I don't know how successful hemp's going to be because the demand is not there yet. But our production will be lower. Why do we keep doing hand-me-downs? Your garden is the same way. Your garden is the same way. We're growing in our gardens what we see on our grocery store shelves. And what's on our grocery store shelves is determined by somebody in Minnesota, by somebody in New Jersey. If you think I don't like Minnesota and New Jersey, you're wrong. They're great places. They're wonderful places. They even have some sense of where they are. We haven't quite gotten that sense yet. You better call. I'm going to keep talking about this. Give us a call this morning. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Hey, so here's the other thing to think about today. Again, not knowing where we are, not knowing why we have such extreme heat. How do we deal with that heat in our houses? So, you know, somebody says, oh, man, I want to make my house more energy efficient. So you know where we're going to go to get plans to make our houses more energy efficient? You got it. We're going to Boston. We're going to Minnesota. We're going to do what somebody in California says to do to their house. We're going to do what somebody on Old House or whatever it is says to do to the house in Boston. So we're going to put insulation in our walls. You know how much that's going to help you winter or summer in Mobile? Zero. It's going to have no effect. Zero effect. And I call me. We'll talk about why. Don't waste your time on that kind of stuff. What is the source of heat gain? Well, probably the biggest source of heat gain in your house right now, if you're using air conditioning, and even if you're not using air conditioning, the biggest source of heat is sunlight coming directly through windows. It makes a huge difference. It's not sunlight coming through walls. A little bit comes through walls, but not much. It's the sunlight coming through windows, directly through windows. Windows on the north side of your house, not going to be important because the sunlight's not coming through it directly. Windows on the south side of your house might not be that important either because the sun is straight overhead. It's not coming through those windows directly. The sun on the east side and the west side of the house, big effect because the sun came up early in the morning at 10 or 11 o'clock. Those windows on the east side of your house were just the floor where the came through the windows was hot. If you have hardwood floors, it was hot where that sun came through. it will be extremely hot when it comes through late in the day. You can put up curtains, and that may help. It's better to block it outside those windows. And there's some very simple ways of doing that. Just low-cost, incredibly low-cost ways of doing that. Let's look at your house. Let's think about your house, and let's talk about how to do that. So we deal with the windows. You know, we wouldn't worry about walls. We're not in Boston. We're not in Minnesota. We don't need to worry about blowing the walls in with lots of insulation. We might want to keep air from escaping through the walls, but that's not what insulation is designed to do. Insulation doesn't keep air from moving through the walls. We would not worry about the walls. We would worry about the attic after we worried about the windows. And we would begin to approach the attic as a place where you've got really serious heat gain problems. You know, one of the crazy things was, we'll blow air out of the attic. Well, okay, no, it doesn't work. You're actually going to use more energy blowing the air out of the attic, and your air conditioning system is in the attic. So you know what happens? You know what happens when you put on a fan and you're blowing hot air out of the attic in the attic in this climate? You're sucking your air conditioning out of your main house. It's coming into the attic. That's not good, is it? You're creating a vacuum that encourages your ducts to leak much worse than they normally would into the attic. That's not good either. And you're using more energy than you would save for your air conditioning system, and it's been demonstrated over and over again. That's not the way to do it either. So we got to think about how do we build our houses so that we don't get so much heat gain. One of the most important things is to be sure the ductwork in your attic, if it's in the attic, is well sealed. Is really well sealed. That's really important. And it probably needs to be very well insulated because it's running through 120 degree temperatures, and there's not a simple way to fix that. It's running through 150 degree temperatures probably this afternoon if we don't get rain. There's not an easy way to fix that. You're going to lose a lot of your air conditioning to the attic. But there's also heat gain just as it pours into the attic and as it seeps into the house. All these things to think about. How could we design roofs so that we didn't have these kind of heat gain problems? Important thing to think about in the South. Wish we thought about it more. Ian, do we have a caller yet? No callers, but we're about to go on a break. Hey, give us a call. Let's talk about your house. 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. Let's talk about how to keep your house cooler this time of year. You know, one of the other things I'd think about is, if your attic is going to be so hot in this climate, is there some way to use the heat in the attic to actually make your house less humid? Now, isn't that an interesting question? That's the kind of way we should be thinking about where we are, because our big problem here is humidity, isn't it? It's the big issue, the humidity and the heat together. And it's that humidity that holds on to the heat, and something we have to think about. So if we could just lower the humidity, we would solve a lot of problems in terms of conditioning our air. Many air conditioning systems are overbuilt and don't actually control the humidity very well. Important things to think about when it comes to your house. Important about thinking about where you are. Where you are. We're very different. We don't need to build our houses the way people in other parts of the country build their houses. We ought to think about how to build houses that are suitable for us, suitable for our climate. Wouldn't that be interesting? Wouldn't that be cool? And wouldn't it be cool if we actually learned to love our climate? Learn to adapt to it. Learn to enjoy and revel in these, even in these July days. It's possible. It's doable. Going to be a great breeze this afternoon, about 4 o'clock. Oh, that's going to be nice coming in. That's the time to really enjoy your yard. It's the time to enjoy your porch. Set up some time to celebrate that breeze coming in the way people on the coast did for years and years. Hey, we're going to be back. Give us a call, 251-343-0106.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Oh, welcome back. It's Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. I've been doing way too much talking this morning. So it's great to get some questions. Ian, who's our first caller this morning? Oh, Paul, I'm listening. What's up?
Hey, Bill, I just want to thank you for your show, man. I listen to it every Sunday. But I wanted you to go more in detail about the camellia oil. It's my first time ever hearing about it. You know, I know about the other nut oils or corn oils or, you know, the lard and stuff like that. But I was just interested in going into the process of camellia oil or where I may pick some up at.
Cool. Great. So here it is. Here's the thing. Camellia oil is probably the most used oil in China, Japan, and other places with a climate similar to Mobile's, where it's pretty humid, where it's reasonably warm. And they grow these. There are several types of camellias that produce the oil, but the most famous one is the one they call the oil-bearing camellia, Camellia oleifera, and it's planted in large numbers when the seed forms. Have you ever had, I don't know if you've ever seen on a camellia, a lot of people will get a seed forming on a camellia. It's a big nut kind of like thing. And people call me and say, oh my gosh, something terrible is wrong with my camellia. It's got this big black nut looking thing on it. And I say, oh, well, that's a big black nut.
Right.
Because camellias produce these big nut-like things with seeds in them. And not all camellias do, because most of the ones we grow have been grown for ornament, and they don't even have they can't even have real official sex anymore, because so distorted the flowers. So they don't produce the nuts, or only rarely. But these oil-bearing camellias will produce tons and tons and tons of nuts. And you gather the nuts, and you put them in a big press, and you squeeze the oil out of it. It's actually done very simply at a lot of farms in China. You could probably there's some big industrial processes for doing it too, but you just squeeze the oil out of that nut. You extract the oil out of that nut, and it makes this beautiful camellia oil. And probably, you know, the chances are that a lot of really good Chinese restaurants, I'm not saying all of them, but really good Chinese restaurants are probably using camellia oil to cook with. And it gives a really nutty, it has a nutty flavor that is, I don't know. It's vaguely reminiscent of pecan, but it's different. It's a little greener. And you can get a refined oil that has no nutty flavor, but I actually prefer a little bit of that camellia oil flavor. It's really delicious. It has a great fragrance. The fragrance is like, it's like a combination of nuts and flowers all at once. It's really a nice fragrance when it comes out of the pan when you first put it in there. You can cook it to 400 degrees, 450 degrees, and it doesn't burn out. It doesn't get all cruddy like olive oil. Yes, right. So it's incredibly good for high heat cooking, which is one of the reasons it's so popular in China and Japan, because they do a lot of high heat cooking initially, and it doesn't get rancid as easy. There's just so many good, and it has most of the nutritional value. So can we grow it here on the Gulf Coast? You bet we can. You'd probably have to have more than one tree to produce a lot of oil, because oils require a lot of, you know, you're pressing it to get the oil out of it. So you can imagine it takes a lot of nuts. But one of the great things is we could grow it very well along most of the Gulf Coast and without a lot of problems. And I wish we would. I wish we could, because I'm buying that oil right now from I can get it on the Internet. It's very hard to find in stores, but you can get it on the Internet from lots of places, camellia oil. There are some grades of camellia oil that are used for cosmetics and other things, but you want to use a cooking camellia oil. It's not cheap. But it's not cheap because we're importing it all from China, and because we now have import restrictions on things that come from China. It's crazy. So it would be really nice if we could grow our own. Just one sort of thing, one sort of ways to think about it. But we're investing literally tens of millions of dollars, if not now close to $100 million, in developing an olive oil industry in the Southeast, which is going to be as doomed as the vine and olive. But we've not really thought about where we are and how do we take advantage of where we are and grow the things that might even be better than olive oil. So, does that help?
Oh, it helps a lot. Maybe these people that have big orchards of citrus that isn't doing that well, maybe that could be a replacement crop for them.
Yeah, you know,
their citrus trees are dying. I've heard of the, you know, I listen to you a lot, and
yeah,
heard about all the citrus diseases through Florida and, you know, Alabama and everything. Maybe replace the citrus trees with the camellia oil bushes, and you know.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought about, you know, I don't know how well these oils will do in central Florida, which is where a lot of the oranges are lost. But it is like Satsumas, in that Satsumas are from Japan and China. And they tend to grow real well along the northern Gulf Coast and less well in central Florida. It's just one of those crops that are really belong to us. You know, it's. I think that camellia oil would be really good from Birmingham, anywhere from Birmingham south to the Gulf Coast, but maybe not so good when you get down into Central Florida because I think the winters may be too warm. But that's an interesting question. Yeah. You know, people who grow pecans here who are struggling with those pecans, you could just about grow these camellia oils with the pecan trees and double your space, get a lot more out of those. Pecan groves by adding the camellias to those pecan groves.
That's a good idea too, because you know I'm surrounded with pecan trees over here in Grand Bay, and I hate driving by some of them and limbs laying on the ground or half a tree or a whole tree, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe people need to start doing that or think about doing that. I'm real interested about the camellia oil, though. It's the first time I ever heard about it.
Yeah, research a little bit of it. See if you can buy some. Just buy some to try it. It's not cheap, but it's not outrageous. It's about the cost of a good olive oil. And tell me what you think. Cook with it a little bit. It's really good. I think I've tried to get David Hubble to cook with it. I don't know if I've succeeded. David, did you ever cook with camellia oil? You should try it, too. It's really good. You can do a whole lot of stuff with it. You don't have to worry about it burning, which is really nice. Really nice. Hey, I know we've got another caller hanging on, and I'm sorry because we're about to run.
I appreciate all your time, Bill.
Yeah, good. Call us back. And folks, we got to go into the news break here in just a second. We got lots of things to talk about. Tony, if you want to call back, I'd love to talk about how to keep your house a little cooler. Love to talk about your power bill. Love to talk about how that works. There's a lot of things to balance in all of that. So give me a call back. I'd love to talk more about camellia oil. I'd love to talk about more about other crops that we could be growing in the South that we don't think about because we think like we live in France. Hey, hang on. We're going to be right back. Give us a call, 251-343-0106.
Cornbread and butter beans and you cross the table.